The Prime Minister of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, has proposed new censorship laws. He wants the government to register internet cafes and ban certain books. It's raising fears that he's trying to shut the door on one of the most open media landscapes in the Middle East. The U.S.-led invasion in 2003 ushered in a communications revolution in Iraq. This past week, Iraqis took to the streets to protest the proposal. NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Baghdad.
The demonstrators chose a place in central Baghdad that sends an unmistakable message, Al-Mutanabi Street. A literary center for generations is lined with bookshops, as well as an outdoor market that does a lively trade in racy romance novels and political magazines. Here, booksellers join journalists and authors for a rousing protest. Over the past few months, the government has been quietly proceeding on laws to register websites and ban certain books. But opponents say it's a first step to limit freedom of expression.
I'm afraid of the return of the censorship.
Iraqi journalist Imad Al-Kafaji.
It's not enough to say for national security, I cannot accept this book or that book. No. This thing will remind us of Saddam era.
When Saddam's era was swept away after the U.S.-led invasion, new media outlets came rushing in. Even the poorest neighborhoods sprouted rooftop satellite dishes. For the first time, Iraqis could feast on Lebanese music videos and Turkish soap operas. They soon discovered website porn and online gambling. But in this media revolution, more dangerous ideas appeared, promoting hatred and sectarian violence. The prime minister's proposed law would prohibit websites that deal with terrorism, but also drugs, gambling, negative comments about Islam, and pornography. Hannah Edouard, a human rights activist, says these vague categories are aimed at stifling Iraq's diversity.
This is really hinders our democracy, diversity of expressions, diversity of opinions. Without it, I feel that we are going again to some dictatorship.
Iraq's National Library and Archives has already been a target for government censors. Saad Iskander, the executive director, tells the story in his office filled with books. He's rescued old text hidden in basements and personal libraries written in Hebrew from the day when Iraq had the largest Jewish community in the region. He's also rescued books written by Saddam Hussein. The new censors wanted those books gone.
I said no. You have no right. Even they are written in a way that's not acceptable to us. But they are an Iraqi product.
A part of Iraq's heritage, Iskander says. He won that fight for now.
It reflects our mentality. It's part of our historical memory and should be read and studied and analyzed in order to prevent the emergence of such dictatorship and such brutality in our society.
Which is why he says he'll stand against the prime minister's proposed censorship law.
Even if the Iraqi government imposed censorship, the National Library will not obey the orders. First it starts with morality and then it with politics and other things.
For Saad Iskander, freedom of expression is worth fighting for. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Baghdad.
Freedom of expression was something Ken Bacon fought for. He was a former Wall Street Journal reporter and Pentagon spokesman in the Clinton administration, and the husband of our longtime colleague here at NPR, Darcy Bacon. Ken died on Saturday. He was a familiar face on television throughout the late 1990s. You might remember the trademark bow ties he wore when he stood at the podium in the Pentagon briefing room. When he left government, Ken became president of Refugees International. I was lucky enough to meet Ken Bacon a few times and to correspond with him over email. He wanted to hear what he called the ground truth about the situation for civilians in places I was covering, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Gaza. But perhaps more than anyone else, Ken focused America's attention on the conflict in Darfur, a place he visited several times. Ken Bacon was an advocate for those who were too poor and too powerless to have a voice. He was 64 years old.